Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Mully and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
I am doing great, guys. Absolutely. Getting had a few surprises last weekend in the playoffs, but no different than the week before. There's always a few upsets and a few teams that just find a way. It's amazing looking at the Patriots, how they do it. I have no idea. It's unbelievable.
And it turns out that it's the top four offensive teams in the NFL that are alive still in the playoffs, and it's also the two top seeds in both conferences. So, you know, are there takeaways from that?
Yes. Yeah, well, you know what? And I've already said this to my grandsons. I said, you guys, you know, want to go play. And this is a lesson, I think, for everybody in any sport. Did you hear that Tom Brady, now think about this. He's 41 years old, you know, the best that's ever played. And on his bye week, on his own time, he has his throwing coach come into New England, and he spends 3 days of his own time, own money, and he goes back and just oils up and perfects his throwing motion to make sure he is right on point. And, you know, for the listeners out there to say, boy, does this just happen? Or it doesn't just happen. I mean, I heard that, you know, on the broadcast, and I said to myself, that even makes you appreciate what the guy accomplishes, in my mind at least, even more so when someone's that committed to being that good, and you see it happen, you know, come Sunday like he did.
Dave, here in Chicago, we're reacting to yesterday's season-ending news conference up at Hallis Hall. The Bears waited 8 days to address the media, but yesterday we heard from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and unexpectedly, Matt Nagy talking about Kareem Hunt, him calling a player that he coached with Kansas City. Ryan Pace not wanting to necessarily go there, but didn't close the door on the possibility. So they sort of ignited the debate. Would you pursue Kareem Hunt if you were the Chicago Bears? What do you think about, you know, that topic, that debate, and how would you use your own history with troubled players to inform your decision?
Well, you know, I think first of all, where does it stand with the league? Where does it stand with the police? I mean, you don't want to get embarrassed on this thing and get out in front of it, and then the league come in and you've made a commitment to try to sign this kid, and then the league suspend him. You know what I mean? Or the police report comes in and now there's a lawsuit. You know, my experience with this stuff has been, yeah, he's a great player. You know, this is an ownership problem. I remember, and I know for a fact that help me out here, Baltimore, the running back,
Ray Rice.
When he and his was, you know, it was still hitting. It was more violent, all that stuff, but it was still, you know, assaulting a woman. Okay, and I remember talking to people, and they said that really it wasn't a head coach's decision. It was not a general manager's decision. This is something that I think ownership, George McCaskey, along with, you know, the decision makers within the family, his mother, obviously, Virginia, they have to make. But I would say this, you know, that you got to be careful, because the one thing that the Bears don't need now, every team needs more talented players. Absolutely. I get that part. But the one thing that you don't, and I lived it with Ricky Williams when he, you know, quit football and took off to India or wherever he went.
Right.
That missing a great player or getting a great player, that's part of it. Absolutely. But the distractions that come with it, and that's the point that I want to make, that you got to be careful. He comes in, there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be some protests. There's going to be the women's right. You know, I don't know what all's, you know, how, what the public reaction would be, good, bad, but it will be a distraction. I promise you that. And now Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and George McCaskey, they've got to decide, is the distraction going to take something away from our football team? How do they want to handle it? That's what nobody talks about. I've lived that. It wasn't Ricky Williams being gone. That hurt us enough. But every day the conversation, was he coming back? Did I talk to him? Did the players talk to him? It just consumed our entire football team.
Yeah, and I think that, again, when you start talking about that sort of thing, and it is, I totally agree with you, Dave, an ownership decision, but sometimes you have to protect your ownership too. You know, sometimes you have to do enough legwork to know whether this could work or not work. And, you know, you got to kind of look out for them, because I think people are naive about these sorts of issues. And I think with a lot of people, we put our value system on them and we say, well, this guy did this, but he didn't mean it. And he seems like he's regretful about it. And that won't happen again. And then when it does, you just can't believe it, because you thought you had figured it out based on how you'd feel about it.
Yeah, and you know what else, too, to add to that? That's why you see some of these players that have had issues, and I've been on both sides of it. Let me just preface it by saying that. Every head coach and every general manager thinks that they can solve this problem. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And I'm not talking about Hunt right now. You have a problem that has a player that has another problem, that he's uncoachable or whatever it might be. You know what? Hey, if he's with us, that won't happen. Antonio Brown, he would not have those incidences if he's on our team, because I'll handle him differently.
Right.
Our GM, our player, all that stuff. And you know what? 90% of the time, the same problems, they surface. It surfaces.
It's a great point, Dave.
It is, Dave. You know, then the other issue was, I never thought I'd walk out of Halas Hall yesterday, Dave, thinking that Kareem Hunt would have a better shot of making the Bears roster in 2019 than Cody Parkey, but it sure sounds like he's on his way out. What did you make of the Bears' tone in dealing with the Cody Parkey question? And going back, and we haven't talked to you since he appeared on the Today Show, how unusual was that and surprising was it for you?
Oh, you know what? I thought how he handled it was good, and I thought it was I was doing the post game, you know, on NBC Sports here in Chicago, and he looked the camera in the eye and he said, "It's on me. I should have made the kick. I feel terrible about it." What more do you want the guy to say? And you know, I related back to my first year at the Bears, my first preseason game. We played the Arizona Cardinals at home, and I introduced the offense. And Jim Harbaugh come running out, and Mike, you may have been there. Honey, you may have been there too, Dave. I don't know. And they booed him. And I remember turning to one of my coaches. I think it was Dave McGinnis or somebody that was on the staff. And I said, "Are you kidding me? We haven't even played a game yet, and this is a feeling of these fans." And he said, "Well, you know, a lot's happened here, and they last year and Minnesota, you know, whatever." And so we go through the year, and Jim plays. I mean, we had no supporting cast for him, and the guy played as good as he could possibly play. And at the end of the day, you know, he left. We didn't re-sign his contract. He took another offer, went somewhere else. But I was thinking that, you know what, it might be best for Jim. I mean, because every interception he throws, everybody's going to revert back to the negative. And I'm not so sure that Cody Parker, it wouldn't be better for his mindset and for his career. Sometimes it's better just to move on. He's got the ability. He'll be kicking in this league. I believe that. Hopefully it's with the Bears. But you know what? I mean, sometimes it's best for the team and the player just, you know what, because the first time he misses one, we're going to be you guys are going to force me to talk about it next year on the score.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
David,
I can just hear you, Molly. Coach, shouldn't we have gotten rid of this guy? I told you. You'll be telling me you told me. Coach, I told you we should have got rid of him.
Missing would be one thing, but if he hits another upright, I think the whole stadium might collapse. I mean, it would just be too much.
He might do that. Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, you know, you hate the guy made three in a row. He was, you know, he scored more points than their offense did. I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate. I feel bad for the kid. He should have made the kick. Yeah, you know, they got a hand on it. I get all that. I lived all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm not so sure that if things don't change. And now if there's a little bit of an attitude with the head coach, with Matt Nagy, on how he went on a TV show. You know, the reason the TV show had him on, not because he missed the kick, but how he responded.
Right.
And he was up front and he was first class. And I thought that was good for sports. I don't care if it's basketball or hockey or baseball. I thought it was good. Hey, everybody's going to fail at times, and I thought it was about as good as you can handle a situation.
Well said, Dave. We'll bring you back for another segment. Want to talk about Chuck Pagano. Want to talk about the Bears' new defensive coordinator. How different are things under Chuck Pagano? How easily will he adapt to
and
that?
And also want to talk to you about Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray is another great one. He is Coach Wannstedt. We'll talk to him next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw on the Score, and we have Coach Wannstedt with us. And Dave, you know Chuck Pagano. What kind of guy is he? How would you describe him? And how's he going to do with that defense?
Well, I think he'll do great. I really do. I know Chucky real well, going back to our USC days. In fact, the story is, I don't know if we've talked about it, but when I was coaching at USC, I left Oklahoma State, excuse me, and Jimmy Johnson gets the University of Miami job, and he calls up. He wants me to come down there and run the defense for him. And I said, yeah, you know what, I'll come, but I said, I got this young defensive coach here that I'd like to bring with me because he's the guy that kind of gets everything set up for me, and he's good with computers, and he's smart, and he'll live in the office. And Jimmy said, what's his name? I said, Chuck Pagano. So Jimmy said, bring him along. You know, so I put Chucky in a suitcase and took him. So we flew Chucky to Miami, and then really he left there and was a college coach at a couple places. But the relationship that he formed with Butch Davis there, people don't realize, when Butch got the head coaching job from the Dallas Cowboys, when Butch left us, Butch hired Chucky back to the University of Miami. Then Butch took him to Cleveland with him, to the Cleveland Browns, which was his first NFL job. And then I helped him get on at Oakland with North Turner. And, you know, and the rest is history. But I think he'll do great because the number one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to come in, at least my opinion. If I was Matt Nagy, I would say, hey, I want you to adjust. I don't want to have 15 defensive players have to adjust, okay? We've got terminology. We got a foundation set. So Chucky knows the 3-4 defense. He knows Vic's scheme. He was at Baltimore with Rex Ryan. You know, he's been in front of the room before, and by that I mean that's a term that we use. Some guys are real smart coaches, good coaches, but they don't have that presence. They don't have that personality to stand in front of Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, you know what I mean, and be able to convince them that, hey, guys, this is what we got to do this week to win. And I always thought that was very important from a coordinator standpoint, not just the knowledge, but how you're going to present it. How are you going to sell it to the players? And Chucky's personality, I mean, he's fantastic that way. He's hard worker. He'll be a great fit. I mean, I think it was a great hire by Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and the whole Bears organization.
He also was on the same staff with Vic Fangio in Baltimore, Dave, back in 2008 and 2009, and I believe. And, you know, though, his defenses with the Colts weren't that great. He had a really good year as a coordinator of the Ravens defense, but he did not have great defenses as a head coach. You know, but I think that probably, you know, maybe he wasn't as involved in the game planning on a week-to-week basis. Do you expect the Bears to be more aggressive under Chuck Pagano than they were under Vic Fangio?
Well, you know, yes. If you look at what Baltimore did, you would say they would definitely be more aggressive from a pressure standpoint. To me, that's what Matt Nagy, you know, should have obviously, and let's assume he did, cover in the interview standpoint. You know, I mean, I've sat there before. I've hired guys. I said, hey, I remember when I hired Jim Bates to run the defense for me at the Dolphins. I said, hey, Jim, you know, I'm about a 15% pressure guy, 20% at the most. You know what I mean? Are you comfortable with that? Where are you at with that? You know what I mean? That's something that I'm sure that they discussed, and Chuck knows what they did. He's been sitting back studying the tape this year, which was nice. And so I'm sure that both sides are comfortable with the philosophy as far as pressure going forward.
Dave, how difficult is it to come in and to change the language? Do you change the language? That's what you're talking about.
No,
yeah.
You don't.
Right.
You do not change the language. You know, I've lived that. I mean, you don't. I mean, there's still, I mean, we went through about three head coaches. And, I mean, they went in Miami, to give you an example, we went from our staff with our defense to Dennis Erickson to Larry Coker. And Randy Shannon was the defensive coordinator, and they were still using our playbook and our terminology three head coaches later and winning championships at Miami. That's just an example, because it was easier, you know, now you're going to make adjustments. I mean, Chuck's going to come in. I mean, offenses have kind of figured the Bears out. They do that every year. So you got to adjust, and you got to tweak it is the word. You got to make little adjustments coverage-wise, pressure-wise, front-wise, to kind of stay up with the offensive trends. But it'll be a lot easier for Chuck coming in, and whoever he brings with him, if some guys come, for them to learn everything and focus that way. You don't want Khalil Mack to be coming in and making mistakes because he's not sure of the terminology or he thought of something else. You talk about frustrating a guy in a hurry, that can happen.
Dave, zooming out, looking at the rest of the league, Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy, declared yesterday for the NFL draft. He's walking away, well, at least he's stepping away momentarily from baseball with the Oakland A's. Had a $4.5 million signing bonus there, and that's some guaranteed money. A lot of people look at this as a strange, curious decision. How does he translate in the NFL, and what did you think of the move?
Well, in today's offense, you know what I mean? When 15 years ago, I would have said, I don't know. You know, but in today's, they're running the college offense. I mean, he can do – And the thing that people underestimate, look at this guy's passing numbers. Everybody wants to put him in the category of Lamar Jackson, right? A great athlete that can run and make plays with his feet. He can do that, and he's done it. But look at what this guy has done throwing the ball. This guy's a baseball player. This guy is accurate. He can throw the quick pass. He can throw the deep pass. He's very accurate. He can throw on the move. I mean, this is a dangerous player. Did I ever tell you guys the story about Charlie Ward, Mike?
No.
Okay, but when 94, I believe it was, I was at the Bears.
Yes.
And Charlie Ward, and I wish I could have talked to hopefully Kyler Murray's done this. And Charlie Ward won the Heisman at Florida State, for our listeners.
Sure.
He was a basketball player. He was slated to be a top pick in the NBA draft. He was slated, and I love this kid. I called Bobby Bowden. I think it was in my first or second year at the Bears, and we were picking high. We were picking in, I think, in the top 15 somewhere. And I talked to Bobby Bowden. I said, would he play football? I would love to draft this kid. And he and Bobby said, ask him, but I can tell you this, he's such a solid person. Dave, whatever he tells you, it's his word. You can book that on me. My reputation's on it. So I called up Charlie Wood about a week before the draft, and I said, Charlie, I'd love to draft you here at Chicago. Where are you at with the basketball and the football? And he said to me, Coach, let me tell you this right up front. If the Bears draft me in the first round, I will be a Chicago Bear. I'm done with basketball. If I don't get drafted in the first round, I'm going to explore my basketball options. And we all know the story. He was a 26th pick in basketball.
Yeah.
And I know this for a fact. Denny Green, there was two or three NFL teams that were having the same conversation, and I found out later he told them all the same story. He was a first-round pick by the Knicks. He played 11 years in the NBA, had a great career. So I just hope that Kyler Murray, when you make this decision, that he have some conversations. Has somebody told him you will be a first-round pick? I hope that happens and he doesn't, you know, all of a sudden become a fifth-round draft pick and it's a waste of time for everybody.
Do you remember who you picked instead, Dave?
You know what? It might have been our first draft.
John Theory?
I don't know if it was that year or was it Curtis Conway? I can't remember now, but it was definitely one of those two guys. But that's the story, and that's a true story, and that's kind of what I was thinking about. I kept telling myself, boy, if I was Murray and these teams were calling up, I would say, where are you going to draft me? You
right.
See me as a first-round pick. If they said yes, now you make an honest decision.
And you know what's interesting is he – and we'll let you go, Dave, but he can get more money from Oakland. They now, because he's eligible for the draft, they can throw some more money at him to play baseball.
Yeah.
So it will come down to where he's going to get picked and how much he loves the sport.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing with the NFL and that I wanted to make sure is that I didn't draft this guy in the second round, Charlie Ward, and then him go to play basketball, and we just lost a second-round pick. You know, that's with the NFL teams. I don't think it's about the money right now. They don't want to give up a first-round pick, and then all of a sudden Oakland gives them more, like you said, Mike, and then he says, forget about it. I'm going to go play baseball, and now you've lost the first-round draft pick.
Great stuff, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.